Thank you all for being here today at our Commissioner's Court. As we begin our court today, do I have a volunteer who would do our invocation for us this morning?
Judge, I can do it. That was me.
Yes, would you? Thank you, Amanda. If you would, please.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer today just to give us peace and wisdom as we go throughout our day. We pray that everybody that has been affected by COVID-19 continues to stay strong and follows through with your plan, Lord. Give us wisdom here today as we go through this Commissioner's Court and represent the people in Montgomery County. And everything we do it for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Pledges to our flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor and protect this flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you all. You may be seated. Let the record reflect this morning that all are present except Commissioner Metter. Do I have a motion to approve the court agenda?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Are there any citizens this morning who are here who wish to make comment on an item on our consent or on our regular agenda? All right. Then we will move on. Do I have a motion to approve our consent agenda this morning, the consent agenda?
Judge, I would like to move 8C4 on page 3 to open.
Okay.
8C4 on page 3, I move with that change.
All right. Are there any other amendations to this? If there are none, do I have a motion to approve our consent agenda as amended?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? All right, let's move forward. We move to our open agenda. Commissioner Nowak, item 8C4, by the way, it's on page 3.
Mm-hmm. Let's consider and approve investments, statement of balances under the
yes.
treasurer.
Yeah.
And I tasked the auditor's office with the request of tying back the treasurer's report to our general ledger. There were, I don't know how many differences between the report that the treasurer filed and the general ledger. So the request has been made that we could approve this pending reconciliation with the auditor's office. I am not going to approve it in any way because it's not correct. They don't balance. So I would. I believe we need to approve this, or at least consider it for approval, BD.
Yeah, are we under some a statutory requirement to?
You should at least consider it for approval. I'm not aware of any statutory requirement that you have to approve it within a certain time period.
What makes these things off? Why are they off?
I just got this morning, and to be fair, I just asked the auditor's office to reconcile this for the first time this month, because it seems in the past the treasurer's office has submitted these reports, and then they come back with a corrected report a month or two later, and I just want to make sure that it's accurate. And do you want to address a couple of the issues? Thank you, Rakesh.
So ours is the GL, which is after the fact. And these are the own source of reports to reconcile and get the balances together. And sometimes it doesn't match up because their sources versus our sources. Ours is always after the fact. So
mm-hmm.
We'll look at it. We'll reconcile, make sure whatever line items we see there ties to the GL, and going forward, make sure that we look at it as well. So it's one set of numbers coming out to the court.
Yeah, so to do this, then, let's say that we decided to temporarily defer this. You would make the corrections, get with our treasurer, and then we'd bring it forth on the next court. And
so we'll have to look at
the
GL,
right?
And look at the reports.
Yeah.
You can defer this if you like.
Yeah, I would just defer it then. I move to defer this.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Rakesh. I appreciate you and your team looking into this.
All right, guys. Gentlemen, let's move on. The court will consider, discuss, and in its discretion, take action on the following item. Risk management. All right.
Good morning, Judge. Commissioners, here this morning to ask you to consider and approve annual renewal of the public entity insurance package for property casualty and workers' compensation for 2020-2021. Of course, these are all the various lines of insurance that we maintain. Sat down with BD and his staff this week to do sort of a more in-depth walk through all of the coverages. They will run from April 1st of this year through March 31st of next year, with the exception of flood, which is on June to June.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
County Auditor Rakesh. Proceed. A, consider and approve payment of accounts.
Item 10A, consider and approve payment of accounts.
Move. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. B.
Okay. Item 10B, consider and accept comprehensive annual financial report for the year ended September 2019. So I'm going to present the county's CAFR.
Okay.
So we engaged Weaver and Tidwell, the external auditor firm, to give us their audit reports and basically audit all our financials, all the notes and all the dollars.
Rakesh, for the record, would you mention and define what CAFR is for us?
Comprehensive annual financial report.
Okay.
So that essentially is the financials for the county. And later on at the toll road meeting, I'm going to present the toll road financial, but I'm just going to focus on the counties for now.
Okay. Also, if you'd speak into the mic.
Yes, sir.
As close as you can. I'm a little bit, everybody knows I'm a little hard of hearing here, even with all the stuff I've got in my ears right now. So if you could, that'd be helpful for me.
Yes, sir. So we engaged Weaver and Tidwell, the external audit firm, to audit our financials, and we did get a clean opinion. This is a quick snapshot of the revenues, comparing the 2018 numbers to the 2019. If you all remember back in 2017, property taxes were bringing about 54% of the total revenues, but since we did the homestead exemption since 2018, it dropped a little bit, about 49.32%, and it's still about 49.48. So overall, the stream of revenues have been consistent compared to 2018. Here's a breakdown, you know, as far as the expenditures and revenues by function. Pretty consistent compared to last year. In the general and admin, you know, we had the Motorola lease for about $12 million, so that took a spike. And all the medical expenses, that also usually we don't budget, so obviously you'll see a bit of a difference. Under public facilities, you know, we had the Joe Corley and all the building improvements that caused a spike. Public safety, you know, that's where all the DHS, all the grants come in, and that's why you see a spike between years or year. Now, as far as the fund statement, I know the big question always is, how much money do we have in the fund balance, and did we go up or down? So compared to fiscal 2018, in fiscal 2019, we're adding $5.391 million into the fund balance. You know, so you have revenues of $282 million, expenditure of $275 million, ins and outs of $1.6 million. And one of the decisions we took as part of last budget season was whether to consider Joe Corley as an agency fund, meaning it's a wash. So.
Right.
So going forward, it will not be a part of the general fund. So you would automatically see a reduction about $30-some million each on revenues and expenses, you know, starting fiscal 2019 CAFR. Breakdown of the fund balance, restricted, committed, assigned, and unassigned. As you can see, you know, we had about $75 million in assigned fund balance last year, but this year we upped it to about $80 million, and the reason being the portion that we assign the money set aside for is the other post-employment benefit, is the retiree health care. And I'm going to talk about in the next two slides how the retiree health care actually went up. Now, this right here is it gives you, you know, how much money do we set aside, you know, what our fund balance policy is. Our fund balance policy dictates that we need to at least have about 10 to 15% of the general fund expenditure money set aside in unassigned, and we are at 16.58%. Now, keep in mind, next year, once the Joe Quarterly thing is taken out, it will reduce the denominator, which is the general fund expenditure. So that percentage will actually go up next year.
And on the Joe Quarterly, it was $39
million. Yeah.
Just so that give you guys a reference point.
Thank you.
Bonded debt, this is just a calc, and the legal debt margin. So basically what it is it's the total debt limit at 25%, you know, minus the debt service fund balance and all that stuff that you have. And it's actually disclosed in the, did y'all get a copy of the CAFR?
No.
Can you pass them real quick? Sorry. So this is a part of the supplementary information where we talk about, hey, this is what it is. This is how much debt limit we have and how much margin we had. We made, since we published, based on the review and getting ready for the presentation, we changed page 207, which is the required supplementary information. So this is not the audited, but this is just the further information kind of deal. We made changes to one of the pages, and your copy and y'all's copy has it updated, and we're going to publish in our website the updated copy as well. But basically all that changed as far as that page, it's page 207, is, you know, you look at all the debt and all that stuff, and you're supposed to subtract the available fund balance and debt service to come up with the margin. And we had it as it was adding. So we basically flipped the sign to make it subtract and basically got the calculation. So at the end, when you look at the county's percentage of the legal debt limit, we're at 5.13%.
Got it.
Of the entire debt margin. So debt-wise, we're doing good. So this is the page that I was talking about. You know, the year before, we had about 80-something million dollars, but we had to do some adjustments. So basically last year, we had $187.7 million in the other post-employment benefit, which is the retiree health care. This year, it jumped by $39.9 million. So we have a balance of $227 million. And we're having the third-party actuary company do some research, run some of the analysis, and I think it's about 25 to 30 scenarios that we're having them run, and they're still running those numbers. As soon as they have the numbers, we'll probably come back to you guys and say, hey, this is how the, you know, different options look like, and we could potentially do something based on what we see the numbers are.
Okay.
AAA, so our rating is still about the same. And I had John Roebuck, our financial advisor, look at how many counties in Texas do still have, you know, AAA, and we had 9 with a AAA rating and 1 with AA1 rating. So, and Montgomery County is one of those. So,
excellent.
So financially, we're good. Any questions?
No. Thank you for your work on this.
Great job.
I move.
Right. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Rakesh. We appreciate it so much. All right. County attorney.
Item this is a placeholder for the court. We were asked to put this on in case you want to have any discussions about COVID-19 and the response.
Judge, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Well, here, I'm. Is it me? It must be me this morning, because I just could barely hear what you were saying.
I can't hear you.
Yeah. Okay.
Here, Judge, can you hear me now?
We put this on as a placeholder in case for open meetings requirements, in case the court wanted to discuss anything with regard to COVID-19.
Sure.
So it's really not our agenda item. We don't have a presentation to make with regard to that. We have it opened up for the commissioner's court.
Okay. Yes. Commissioner, you had mentioned, Judge, and we'll put you on the spot.
Yes.
Let's go.
I think everybody's question is, what is Montgomery County going to do now with other counties moving towards some sort of shelter in place or work from home? And I know you've thought about this extensively. I think if you could share your idea with the county,
absolutely,
it'd be appreciated.
First of all, let me say, we have taken what I believe to be a measured approach to the whole idea of closing businesses and the rest. We started out, and as many of you, I'm sure, were marginally skeptical weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and then as we saw this develop, we realized that there's something here that we must address. And so in meeting with all of our health authorities, in having our sheriff through telephone, our district attorney, of course, our attorney's office, the health district, my chief of staff, consulting with our regional Homeland Security Emergency Management, our own Homeland Security Emergency Management, we came to some conclusions that we felt that we needed to do. And so with that, we put some restrictions and ultimately ended up with a position that we were going to limit groups of 10 or more in social places, that we were going to ask people at the end of the day to self-regulate this because we don't have the capacity, nor do our surrounding counties have the capacity of watching everybody and all these various things. Now, we'll also tell you that we eventually came to the place where we closed restaurants, but we kept open the drive-thrus, we kept open this curbside delivery, and have seen some tremendous successes in that in terms of people doing business as we just drive around and as we look. We also had urged our essential businesses, we urged our churches, our synagogues, our mosques, or whatever, and a number of these, we urged them to abide by this 10-person rule. And in doing that, they have, as we have seen, done this. Now, yesterday, a sister county, if you will, one that is on our border, came to the conclusion that we had come to that there was no need, as we had heard, for some type of shelter in place or some type of additional controls upon our people. And I listened to the mayor of that town for no less than 10 minutes talk about how they'd already done this and there wasn't a need in the light of our governor, who had mentioned that he was still leaving up to local control, and if we wanted to do anything stronger, we could. So one of our northern counties said, hey, we're going to put this in place. Well, then others seems that are following for whatever reason, and then we heard this morning. I've already gone on record. I've already done a video that I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the future holds, but virtually everything that they decided that they were going to put as essential businesses and put in place right now, and they created a stay-at-home order. And at this place, I have chosen, given my statutory ability, advice from many individuals from our health department, that at this point, we are not doing that. We're putting no longer any more restrictions on what we have. Our people are being compliant. I think it's important for all of us that we understand that if we are compliant and we take the road of watching out for our neighbor, we are operating by a set of values that allows us to remain free in how we operate within our county, in our country, in our state, or whatever. The less we refuse to self-regulate, then there becomes a necessity for government to step in and start maintaining control. I mean, can I ask y'all a question? Do we really need to have a law on the books that says, don't run over your neighbor's mailbox? No, but we do. If we self-regulate and we take care of the people around us, we have put some things in place that I believe are working, and our county is doing it. It is remarkable to watch. I've discussed this in meeting over the phone with our district attorney, discussed it with him this morning, and it is amazing what we are doing. And I'm just going to ask citizens of Montgomery County to continue to self-regulate, and we're going to get through this at some point. Absolutely. Commissioner, I was not prepared for this. Scouts on.
Of course not.
Scouts honor, but I did just cut a video a few minutes ago, so it was good to have done that. So that's the answer to my question, and that's an update. And I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the future holds. I just know that if we watch out for each other and we do the right thing, and I have seen that here in such a great county. Guys, listen, our county is awesome. The people of our county are awesome. We are a good and virtuous people. And if we do this and we care for our neighbors, we're going to get through this, and it's Montgomery County strong. I believe that. So I'm not campaigning anymore, and that's what I believe. So are there any more on that particular item?
Thank you, Joe.
No. Yes. I also am going to move 11A into executive session for continued discussion regarding legalities and
sure.
on the topic.
Absolutely.
I want to make a few comments myself. You know, I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate that. And I do think that some of these folks are abiding by the guidelines. But when I look at who's abiding by the guidelines and where they're doing it in places like the baseball fields where we told them they couldn't congregate. And they're doing it in places like the community buildings where we told them
sure.
they couldn't.
Sure.
I went by HEB this morning. There's probably 45 people standing in line. I mean, you know, next to one another, trying to get into the store. I'm not trying, and I'm not advocating for shutting down the county. I'm certainly not advocating for that. But the places that we've told them that they couldn't, they're doing it. I'm concerned. I see the judges are sitting out here this morning. We still got the judges' courtrooms open.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. People are walking in there, 30, 40, 50, 100 people. I don't know how many people's in there. We still got the county clerk's office open. People are walking in there. We still got the tax office open. People are walking in there. This whole building's open. Again, I don't know what the answer is, but
here's may I say, I'm concerning the outside issues and what people are doing. We respond to reports. Sheriff's office has followed up on those reports, and per the
district. What kind of reports?
Well,
what are we talking
about? No, they'll tell us about restaurants that are supposed to have too many people in them or whatever. And we've had a number of those. And the district attorney has mentioned, and I agree, that part of this is if people are in violation, that we will end up with a shelter in place if we don't stand behind the orders that we have implemented. And so it's also important for people to know that the orders have teeth. And if there are people who are doing this, we have law enforcement all over this county who are ready and willing to bring people into compliance. So if we know about it, if you put more rules on everybody, so let's shut down the county.
I'm not trying to put rules on anybody. Yeah. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying that when we did come out with the no more than 10 people in one place, we told people where they could not do that as a county. And that's happening at our county facilities, but I don't see it happening that much anywhere else. I just don't.
We're talking about in our own facilities here, you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking about,
county properties.
Baseball fields, softball fields, football fields, community buildings. So I don't know what the answer is either, but I just feel like that everybody that you hear from is saying it's going to get worse, it's going to get worse. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. But if it's going to get worse, it's going to get worse, it's going to get worse, and we need to do this and do that, and we're still having this building and all our county buildings wide open, that scares me.
Judge.
Point well taken. Go ahead.
You know, any of the elected officials have the ability to close their office or not have court. It's kind of up to them. So those who haven't done so yet, I mean, they're free to make that decision whenever they like to. And the one thing I would add is I think it's disturbing when you hear elected officials make negative comments about actions that this court has taken or your order regarding closing, of certain county facilities or close, you know, requesting the businesses. It's a hard decision, and somebody has to make it.
Sure.
And I just don't think it serves the public very well to have elected officials question that. So I just wanted to bring that up. And I'm not talking about you, Commissioner Riley.
So I was negative?
No, I said I'm not talking about you at all. But we've had some that have really questioned why did the judge make those types of closures or why did his order.
If y'all will remember, I closed my stuff down.
That's right.
Yeah, you were first.
Before anybody.
Absolutely. No, I followed your lead on the community.
I still believe in that. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got employees I don't know how many volunteer firemen I've got that work for me on road crews. I don't want these guys out there around a whole lot of people, and then they can't do their job at the fire department when we need them. I don't want that happening.
Right. I agree.
And that's the kind of stuff I look at.
None of us do, and I will tell you, as elected officials, being employed by the people of our county here as members of our county government, that when you see these sorts of things, that we need to get the information. Every report that we get, we check out. But Do we have the manpower that can go around and just constantly be checking on things? Commissioner Riley, I would encourage you, if you see those things happening, to address them. And we will have our law enforcement group go and bring people into compliance. The object here is just not to arrest people, but we have the power to arrest. We have the power to take away liquor licenses. We have the power to enforce this. And that is where my goal is, not to turn this into, quote, unquote, and I know it's yours as well, a police state. We don't want to do that. But we have the ability to report it, and I think we need to. Because if we don't report it, if you will, and address it according to what has already been given, then we will have a flat order that will come out and probably not include all these essential businesses on top of it. So it is incumbent upon us as a county, as people, to self-regulate, to keep from having our freedoms taken away. A republic, if you will, is based upon the fact that people have a agreed set of values that they operate by, without which we'll just have to keep making more laws until finally they lose all their freedoms. Here in Montgomery County, I think, as you look at our history, you know, we were one of the first counties in the republic before we were a state, birthplace of the Texas flag. I'm going to tell you, Montgomery County was part of the giant circle in the Capitol that says, remember the Alamo, regardless of how you feel about that, and the freedom of our state. But we must self-regulate. So I applaud what you're saying, and I appreciate that, because I think, gentlemen, if we see where this is taking place, we have the authority, we have the power, if you will, to enforce these orders that have come out. Because at this point, again, I don't have a crystal ball. These are the orders that stand. And my goal here is to keep those in place. And certainly, God gave me two ears and one mouth. I'm open to discussion on anything. And we have taken a measured approach and have listened and listened and listened before we have done these. But I do so appreciate this conversation. I think it's good for the people of Montgomery County to see what we're doing here and that we're publicly hashing this out. And this has not been taken lightly, and that we are just not hiding behind something, a higher elected official or whatever. And, again, you know, when I signed up for this job, I got to tell you, little did I know that we would have a pandemic in the United States, across the globe. And this is new territory for all of us. But I really do believe that if we continue to talk about, Commissioner, you're talking about having discussion. I'm all for it. That if we stay together and keep continuing to work together and we take measured approaches without knee-jerk reactions. I mean, I got to be honest with you. There's a group of people that just yesterday went on and on and on about why they didn't need that. And this morning they came out with it. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I was amazed. But that's okay. If they believe that's good for their county, great. But the fact of the matter is there's all the restrictions that they have allowed are the very same ones without the order. So compliance and us reporting and ensuring, and our district attorney and our sheriff has assured us that they will take action. Sheriff is awesome. You tell us what to do, we'll enforce it. BD, if you would please.
Excuse me. Just a couple more comments. One, yeah, to address the enforcement aspect of, yeah, it. We've made sure that our county plan has the needed enforcement provisions in it so that in the event, right, law enforcement does have to take action, that our county plan supports that. So that is one thing we have done and made sure that our county disaster plan allows for that. Some, the way the law is, some cities or counties may have that in it and some don't. We made sure that ours is up to date and is to the maximum extent that it can be enforced. And just on the other note, Commissioner, with regard to this building, just to let you know, we're working from home as much as we can. I think since Thursday, I've had at maximum 5 people in the office coming and going. So we're trying to do our part, and I think everybody in the county is trying to do their part to still get the work done, but also to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. So,
you know, it's,
and we appreciate your lead in taking that lead and being the first to work from home.
I was talking with our tax office, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tammy, but you guys have basically closed your doors and people are coming to the outside, almost like roadside delivery. Is that? Can you come and share with us what you've done? So there are some things taking place. Unfortunately, everybody doesn't have all the information. But
we have closed 3 of our branch offices and have focused on the Woodlands and the Conroe offices remaining open. We've closed our doors to the public, no face-to-face transactions, but we have a drop box outside of the Woodlands office. We have a drop box at the Conroe office, and we have hot pink signs posted so that they can see. All they have to do is call a number. We can hear when the transactions are dropped, and we have people sitting there that can see them. We process them. If they want them back immediately, we put them back in that box, and we're able to service the public. Our dealers, surprisingly, still have a lot of titles that they're bringing in. Mm-hmm. We had in excess of 300 yesterday that were dropped off, and between the two offices, we're able to keep up with, well, not actually keep up with it, but we're working those to the best of our ability. But we're providing the services without the face-to-face.
Tammy, as always, your office does a great job.
Thank you.
I've gotten comments from people in the public that are appreciative that you were still processing their transactions. They can drop them off at the door.
We're trying to keep the revenue going and flowing for all of our taxing jurisdictions as well as the county.
Thank you so much. Are there any other comments, gentlemen, on this particular issue? As it was a general topic, we're not voting on anything here at this point. But are there any other comments? If not, let's move on to purchasing. Gilbert?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Our agenda item is to award the Salas Park Improvements Project for Commissioner Precinct 4. I do have some comments on it. The bid price that was submitted by Bay Commercial, $945,011.75. There's been some work done with Precinct 4 and the engineer. That price now has been lowered to $912,135.50. So I ask that you award the bid to Bay Commercial at the new price of $912,135.50.
I move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Gilbert. Now, at this time, we're going to recess a Commissioner's Court to convene public hearing.
Commissioner Riley, would you like me to read this?
Please.
Consider the partial revision of Sunrise Court Private Street, shown as Wood Trace Boulevard Street Dedication Replat, to be known as Arbor Trace. Is anybody here to speak about that? Proper notice was published in the Courier, on the county website, in the required amount of time. The developer owns all the surrounding properties. No HOA or POA is found, and you will approve this under item 13A1 in a minute.
Okay.
Precinct 4? Do you want me to read that? Consider and approve establishing a multi-way all-way stop sign control at the Cassowary Drive and Tableland Trail intersection. Is anybody here to speak about that? Thank you, Judge.
All right. That concludes our public hearing, and let's move on to item number 14, County Engineer. Consider to approve the final plat of Arbor Trace.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 15, Precinct 4.
Consider and approve establishing multi-way all-way stop sign. Control all that. I move.
Second. Discussion? Are you on item A? We're on item number 15, precinct 4.
Did all that on the last one? All of mine?
Yeah, you're on the next page.
I thought you just did 13A1, not 13A1.
No. Well, here's what we just completed. On page 7 of 8, we did the county engineer, which is 14A. Do you have the same pages?
Right.
I do now.
Okay, and then if you look down, we just approved that. Now, if you go to 15, which is Commissioners, Precinct 4, Item 1.
Right. We need to – can I have a motion to approve 13B1, please?
That's what he was trying to do.
That's what Commissioner was trying to do.
Okay.
You drove past me. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second it, Commissioner.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right.
Now 15A1.
All right. Commissioners, Precinct 4.
Consider to approve opening IT administrative position 1 503-8552, analyzed salary to be $54,975, $41,500 news and media for the remainder of the year to be funded out of Commissioner Precinct 4, authorized budget officer transfer funds between positions and accounts as necessary. I'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. All right, let's move on. Doty to Human Resources. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Please consider and approve the payroll change request form.
Move.
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item B.
Gentlemen, I'd like to talk a little bit about the HR policy, which is the disaster policy. As you know, the county judge ordered that we have three separate types of employees at this point during this disaster. We have essential personnel, home-based personnel, and non-essential personnel. Essential personnel and home-based personnel will be paid based on the hours that they work, use their normal pay code, and will accrue vacation, personal time, and sick hours. Our non-essential personnel will remain at home, adhere to the CDC social distancing guidelines, and could possibly be recalled to work at any time. We've asked these employees, you know, to remain at home, stay with their kids, stay with their families, and to limit their time that is outside. What I'd like to propose is that these employees will code their time to code 032, as Judge Keogh ordered, but they will only accrue sick leave at this time, since they're not actually working. If they work one day during a week of a pay period, they will accrue vacation and personal time that is prorated based on that time they work that week, but not accrue the normal vacation and sick leave that they normally accrue for working a two-week pay period.
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion.
I think you lost me, Doty. I'm sorry.
I knew I did. I'm sorry.
Did you see my eyes kind of glaze over?
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're going to accrue their sick time as normal, okay, if they for their two-week pay period. They'll accrue sick leave. But if they are not working during that two-week time at all and they're at home, they will not accrue vacation or personal time.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's good.
Okay. Now we're in discussion on that.
Yes, sir.
When we first discussed this, correct me if I'm wrong, the general feel in our conversation was that this is not we're taking the actions we're taking because nobody's at fault here. It's kind of like in our emergency situations that we have, whether it's a water issue or a hurricane or whatever the case may be. And have we in the past, or did we back in our last water event, and we basically closed the county down, did we allow them to accrue time if they were non-essential employees and they were at home?
Yes, sir. The difference in this disaster is, you know, in the past, the most employee has been stayed home was like a week. In this particular disaster, we don't know how long it could last. And that's why we're trying to put some of the limits on accruing the vacation and personal time.
In terms of actual cash, though, in the immediate, you know, when we talk about accruing vacation time, we're talking time. It will come up, and it will come up in terms of cash. What do y'all think about that?
I think this is completely different. We keep comparing this to hurricanes and floods and whatever. You know, Hurricane Harvey, we were probably 2 or 3 days we couldn't do anything but sit at home because we couldn't get anywhere. But then when we could get somewhere, we worked 24 hours, 7 days a week. I worked for probably 6 weeks around the clock trying to clean up everything. That's where we get into time.
Accruing disaster time. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So I agree with what you're trying to do. When this is over, we're not going to be out there working around the clock.
Which is a good point. Yeah. I mean, if it's a week event, it still is 6 weeks beyond the event. I mean, agree?
Say that again.
In the event, if we gave everybody off for a week because of the actual or the 3 days or whatever it was, now we have everybody all hands on board working to clean up the mess, to make sure that everything around the county is in good shape, and it is, it doesn't become a one-week event, is what I'm saying. It becomes a longer event, depending upon what it is. You know, I don't know. Harvey was a
much longer
event. I just
don't see us doing a whole lot of overtime in Saturday and Sunday after this is.
So what are you saying that we should? So what?
I think there's a good plan. What she's talking about, I really do.
Well, our current disaster plan is really focused on floods and hurricanes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a new one for everybody.
It's new territory.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I agree. I think it's the right thing to do. And again, I move.
Second.
We already have a first and a second, and we're in discussion.
Dodie, do you want to make it
Commissioner
effective
Metz.
With beginning of this pay period?
Tell me, what are your thoughts on this? Oh, I'm sorry.
We need an effective date for this.
Yeah,
otherwise,
I would recommend today. No, I would recommend making it effective with the start of the new pay period, which begins Saturday.
Okay, before we
So it's not effective?
Hang on, everybody. It's not effective at all yet. We're still deciding whether or not we should do it, and I just asked Commissioner Metz if he could give us some insight into that. We're in the middle of discussion here. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Agreed. We have a second.
I'm good with it.
Are you? Okay, that's what I needed to know. Welcome. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Metter is here with us.
Glad to be
now.
Here. So
when would it go into place?
Yeah. I thought, Dodie, the intent
this
was
this past Saturday
yeah.
was the beginning of
March
the new pay 21st. Period. I'm sorry. This past Saturday was the beginning of the new pay period. So March 21st.
Correct.
Is when it would be effective.
Okay. I move in with the effective date to be March 21st.
All right. We have a second then. We'll read you this. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The other thing I would ask is, Amy, do we need to do a resolution in order on this since it's just an exception to the policy and not a total change at this point?
Well, the court's action is effective, and effective, I guess, as of last Saturday. We can bring at the next court a resolution in order which would memorialize this if you'd like.
I think it should.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
cool.
That's easy enough to do, too.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dodie. We appreciate it so much. All right, this time we're going to move to executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code. To wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. So we will recess, and then we'll be back. We're going to resume. I'm going to ask. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Amy, if you would present our motion on our behalf as we resume and come back together on the Item 17A of executive session.
So what we're going to be considering for your approval out here is the creation of 3 jail liaison positions and 1 attorney or associate judge position in an amount not to exceed $185,600. We would utilize the court reporter special fund to the extent appropriate and available, the remainder from contingency, the position salaries to be reviewed by the budget office and HR before hiring. And we would be asking you to authorize the budget office to transfer funds between positions and accounts as necessary to effectuate the same.
All right.
Move.
Do we have all in favor? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Now, as we have completed our executive session, is there anyone who, any of our citizens, would like to make any comments on the... I'm sorry. Excuse me. We have pardon me. Dodie, if you would excuse me, please. We need to include the motion, that other part. Thank you.
Jason, would you mind stepping up here with me, please? Gentlemen, as an exception to the disaster policy that I asked for earlier, I'm also asking that the change in the exception to also include that employees that are working during this disaster do not accrue disaster PTO. You good with that?
Yeah, that's the 331 code that they would earn. So for employees working, they would get the bank of PTO to use when the disaster is over.
Isn't this what
days.
I mean, that's in the that is in the memorandum that
it
she
is,
adopted.
Correct. We want to make sure that was part of the motion because auditors were concerned it was not.
Well, I'm assuming when I made the motion, it was for this entire sheet of paper here. Is it not?
Well, we have it.
That's the backup.
I think everybody's assuming that anyway, Dodie.
How can a clerk not have backup?
Well, I just want to make sure.
But to clarify, that's good.
Yes, sir. It needs to be clarified.
That's good.
Okay, so is it, are we, Dodie, you feel like we've adequately clarified that? Okay, so do we need to have an amendment to the motion? Or do we need to start all over? Or first of all, I would move that we withdraw the motion, the original motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, ain't nobody's going to remember that original motion.
So,
okay.
Can I just move on 16B as presented here?
Correct. The clerk does now have a copy, so it would be appropriate.
Okay.
That's what you've already done, right?
Yeah, that's what we've done.
Okay, so it really is come to a clarification on what we did for the benefit of the clerk.
Are you good now?
Yep. Okay, let's wait. Amy, are we good? All right, good. Thank you all very much. Dodie,
thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Back to where we were, is there any citizens here who would like to make any comments on any miscellaneous comments, any of the things that we're working on? And as I saw, there wasn't. If there are none, under miscellaneous, you see notices, number 21. And then I need a motion to adjourn.
I move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all for joining us in Commissioner's Court today. Thank you for social distancing today. We appreciate it.